This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I am your host, Danielle Townsend. And now guys, this episode, this topic has been on my mind the past couple days. In all honesty, I tried to record this episode a few days ago, and I literally recorded a whole hour-long episode. And immediately after I recorded it, I was like, no, this isn't it. And deleted the entire hour worth. And honestly, I'm glad I did, because in this time period, I feel like the Lord has really given me a depth to this topic that wasn't present in that last episode. And there's a little bit more of a different direction. Now, that last episode, I focused more on pruning, right? And we know that pruning is part of the process when it comes to growth and healing. And, you know, pruning is when the Lord is breaking those things off of you, breaking them down, and allowing you to develop things like new habits, new coping mechanisms, new perspectives that bear fruit. So the episode I had recorded focused more on pruning. And I feel like the direction the Lord is actually more calling me to go in, and we will discuss pruning, y'all, is the promises process. Because in the past couple episodes, we've talked about opposition. We've talked about warfare. We have talked about prophetic words, and we have talked about the waiting period that comes with receiving a word from God. But I feel led to do more of like an in-depth discussion today on what happens when you receive a promise from God. What is the process that comes along with that? And I know that this episode today is going to be helpful for anybody listening. There's going to be something that you can take out of this, whether you have just received a word from the Lord, whether you have been waiting for weeks on a word from the Lord, whether he's given you a vision or a promise, and you've been waiting months, years, whoever you are, whatever part of the process you're in, this is going to be helpful for you. I want to start by saying there are some things that the Lord revealed to me over a year ago that I am still waiting to see the full fruition of. And this has been a great reminder for me, an encouragement for me, and I pray that whatever touches your heart in this episode today, that it refreshes you, that it replenishes you, that it renews your mind, that it renews your spirit. Believe it or not, y'all, I'm actually a little bit more organized today. I've taken time and actually written some things down. I really felt prompted by the Holy Spirit today to have some things already written down. You know, I usually kind of freestyle with the podcast. I'm usually freestyling this whole process where I just get on here and, you know, where the Holy Spirit leads me is where the Holy Spirit leads me. And I really just allow the Lord to use me. And today was one of those rare days that I felt led to have some bullet points down, have some extra notes to refer back to. So I know that God intends to do something with this episode today. And the first thing I have written down here, y'all, are promises from God come with healing, revealing, and opposition. I don't know about y'all, but most of the time when I get a promise from the Lord, the first thing I receive is hope, right? When I gave my life to Jesus back in California, I've told y'all the story before, there were some promises that he made to me. For example, that he was going to change my living situation, that my past pain was going to become testimony, that I was going to live a life devoted to him and serving him, and that he was going to impact other people's lives through my testimony. There were some other things that he showed me, restoration promises. And the very first thing that came out of those was hope, right? Because I believed. I believed in what he spoke to me. I believed in what he showed me. So it gave me a hope. It kind of gave me a goal to work towards, right? It gave me like a light at the end of what felt like a very dark tunnel. And what I didn't know, and I'm honestly glad I didn't know at the time, is that those kind of promises come along with opposition and uncomfortability and hardship. If God would have told me, in all honesty, y'all, when he made those promises to me that you were going to have to go through this and go through that and go through that, I probably would have said, you know what, never mind, no thank you. I would have gotten overwhelmed, scared, and dipped out. So glory be to God, he didn't tell me. And he took me through the process slowly. But I'm going to say this again. Promises from God come with healing, revealing, and opposition. Speaking from experience, in the process, because some of those promises, I have seen God fulfill them. I have seen God fulfill them. And the other ones, I know he is working on it. And I know it's going to happen one day in his timing. I have the faith for that. And I have seen things already falling into place for that. Glory be to God. But in the waiting period, before I received a lot of those things that the Lord promised to me, there were areas of me that were healed first. And those things weren't healed until those things were revealed. And those things were often revealed through times of spiritual opposition. God, we know that it is in his character to use all things for your good. And that includes opposition. Whatever warfare you face, whatever struggles you're going through, whatever attacks of the enemy, God can use those to strengthen you. God can use those to further you and to help you step into your calling. He will use them to prune you. And that is what today's episode is really. We're going to touch in a lot on how God uses the opposition. Because y'all, we have addressed opposition a lot here on the pod, right? Like we have addressed, how do you identify opposition? How does the devil sneak in? How does he manipulate? How does he plant seeds? We have spent a lot of time focusing in on how to spot warfare, how to identify warfare, and the purpose of the warfare from the enemy's perspective. But today we're going to be talking about how God uses that and how the warfare and the opposition is actually, it's literally the dirt that helps you to grow. It's literally the footstool. You know how God will use your enemies as your footstool? This opposition is literally your footstool. And I pray that after listening to this episode today, you are able to perceive what you are going through or what you have been going through in a different way. Okay? It's really important to know this, y'all. When you receive a promise from God, you're also going to receive inner work, and that inner work is usually tied to warfare. Okay? When God made a lot of promises to me, I was really hopeful, right? And I was like, okay, God, where are they at? Where are they at? Where are they at? And in my private time with him, he revealed to me, I'm going to do these things for you one day, but you are not yet able to steward over them. Basically, God was saying, these promises are for one day, but they're not for right now. If I gave them to you now, you wouldn't be able to carry them. You wouldn't steward over them well. You were not yet prepared for these things. And when the Lord revealed that to me, I saw that as an invitation into prayer and preparation. Y'all, when God reveals, when he gives you a promise, when he gives you a hope, when he gives you a vision, sometimes we take that as like a signal to, okay, now I need to force it, and now I need to push it, now I need to do this. That is not why God is revealing that to you. He doesn't reveal something for the intent of you to, in your own control, force it and work it around and make it happen. God revealing something to you is an invitation for you to first step pray on it. And oftentimes, it's an invitation into preparation, right? It's an invitation to prepare yourself. So I saw these, when God told me, this is what I want to do for you, but you're not yet ready for it.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
I was like, okay. God made me that promise. That means I can get there. Like if God said, this is what I'm going to do for you one day, it's done. So I'm going to have the faith that that is for sure going to happen. And if God says I'm not ready, in my brain, I was like, okay, well then God, what needs to happen for me to be ready? Start getting me ready. Do what you need to do within me to make me ready. And y'all, when I tell you God moved off that prayer, it was almost instantly that I started seeing things about myself that needed worked on. I started seeing things about myself that needed healed. But the more I was reading the gospel, the more I was like, yep, this part of me doesn't look very Christ-like. This part of me doesn't align very well. There were a lot of things that the Lord took and like literally broke down in me. And that was the pruning process. We're skipping ahead a little bit here, y'all. I didn't have pruning written down until later, but, you know, a Holy Spirit guiding us right now. Pruning is talked about in John 15. So while I flip to that, I want to tell y'all just how much the pruning process is absolutely crucial. Because if you are not yet prepared to steward over that blessing, a blessing from God may end up feeling like a curse. Crazy, right? But it might. If you do not have the capability, because a gift from God comes with weight, it comes with an anointing, it comes with requirements of like certain fruits of the Spirit to be able to steward over it long term and to use it to glorify God. Because we're not talking about just receiving something, we're talking about once you receive it, being able to steward over it well and use it to glorify the kingdom of heaven and use it to like build up. For example, there was a job that God gave me, that God absolutely blessed me with, because I was not qualified for this job on my own. God had to work things around for me to have that job. And by the time I started working that job and receiving it, it was an absolute blessing for me. I was like, oh my gosh, I get to be in God's word every day. Oh my gosh, I get to be around, like, I'm in a Christ-centered environment. Oh my gosh, I get to be around, like, all these different things. But I started thinking about it and I was like, yeah, if God would have given me that like a year ago when I wasn't focused on him, when I wasn't craving a Christ-centered environment, when I didn't have when my patience, for example, wasn't honed in as much as it is now, I started looking, I was like, I would instead see this job as like a high stress thing. I wouldn't be glorifying God and appreciating it. I would be looking around like, can I have a different job? Can I have something else? I don't enjoy this. I don't like this. if God had given it to me too early, it would have been a thing that I complained about instead of a thing that I rejoiced about. And the pruning process is what got me there. Let me tell y'all, the patience I had to be able to steward over that job well, it wasn't just I woke up with patience. It was God gave me a lot of opportunities to extend my patience. And that came by trials and testings and tribulations. And when you're facing those trials and those testings and those tribulations, you have the opportunity to, okay, I'm either going to react impatiently or I'm going to react patiently. And I'm going to pray to God for the strength to react patiently. I'm going to get the strength from him. And that is a little bit of an example of the pruning process, right? Because I wasn't the most impatient person in the world, but my patience could definitely have been extended. So you can think of it as my patience branch was bearing a little bit of fruit, but God recognized in order to go into the next season, it was going to need to be capable of bearing a lot more fruit than it was. So what he did is he allowed me to go through situations where my patience had to be grown and my patience had to be extended. He cut off my old way of coping. He cut off my old way of being patient and allowed me to cultivate with him, because we don't do anything outside of him, a new branch. I'm going to read this to y'all real quick. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. And now I think this is very important that we acknowledge here that we are not meant to grow these branches. We are not meant to do anything apart from Jesus. And that's why I want to be very thoughtful in saying, like, when the Lord cut off my old way of being with the intent of me to produce something better, I was meant to do it with him, not apart from him. It's very tempting when your source of comfortability is removed, or a habit that brought you comfortability or perspective, when that is cut off, there is the temptation to go out and try to create something yourself. There's the temptation to go out and try to find comfort in the world. There's the temptation to go out and try to handle things in a worldly way. And that can even be seen as a testing of your faith, right? Of, do you trust God enough that the answer will be found with him and in his word? I can tell y'all that every time my patience was put to the test, I didn't find comfortability in outside sources and distractions or things like that. My true comfort and my hope was found in Christ. And the patience I have now sometimes is supernaturally given to me by Christ. There are things I can sit through and tolerate now, like without having an explosion or breakdown or throwing in the towel, that a year ago I would not have been able to go through. I would not. And especially 2 years ago. I think it's very important that we acknowledge this, that the habits, the coping mechanisms, the things that we develop are meant to be with, like, a reflection of Christ Jesus. So your coping mechanism, the way that you handle warfare, the fruit that you're producing should look like Christ. It should be a reflection of him, right? We know some of the fruits of the Spirit: love, patience, peace, joy. These things should reflect Christ. But I think there's someone out here today who needed to hear that Christ isn't like cutting these things off of you and intending for you to go out and find new ways and new methods in the world. He's intending for you to go to him and be replenished through him. That's why I will always say, when you're dealing with warfare, when you're dealing with opposition, the answer isn't in distractions. It's not in busy work. It's not in relationships with other people. It's not in numbing the pain. It's not in the drinks, the smoking. It's not in the exercise. It's not in all those things. And I'm not saying that those things are, I'm not saying that things like exercise or a relationship is bad, but that shouldn't be your go-to. Your go-to should always be Christ. Christ should always be first in your life. Christ should be your first therapist. Christ should be your first friend. And Christ should be your first advisor. And I've shared this from experience, that at one point in my life, Christ called me to leave behind like all of my coping mechanisms. Called me to leave behind smoking, drinking, called me to leave behind New Age, called me to leave behind gossiping, called me to leave behind all these things. And I was like, well, what's going to fill the void? What's going to fill my anxiety? What's going to help me sleep at night? What's going to bring me peace? What's going to distract me? And Christ said, try me. Come to me and watch what happens. And in the times when I was tempted to go back to those old things, I chose to go to Jesus instead. When I was stressed and anxious, I chose to go to God's word. And I found a peace that surpassed all understanding. When something was happening and I was really uncomfortable in the unknown, I went to Jesus about it. And he gave me a peace that he hasn't handled. Whoever you are listening to today, you need to hear these hardships are not the hardships, opposition, whatever warfare you're facing, whatever uncomfortability you're in right now, because growth comes with
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Comfortability. And the cutting off requires a stepping into the unknown, right? When the Lord is pruning something out of our life, we're left in a little while of like an unsure space. Before that new thing really grows and develops, we're left kind of like, where do we go and what do we do? And I want to tell you today, that question is Jesus. Be in God's presence. Be in his word. Be reading the Bible. Be worshiping. Be praising. Be in a space of prayer. If you don't know what to do, go to him. And even if you think you know what to do, go to him. We lean not on our own understanding. So if you've received a promise from God, you can bet that you're also going to see a pruning season. Okay? You can think of the pruning. The pruning really is cutting out habits, methods, thought processes, maybe even relationships, friendships, connections. Because God intends for you to go into a new season, right? But this new season comes with a new weight. There's a saying I used to hear, new levels, new devils. And that is not word for word in the Bible. I want to be very clear. But what people mean when they say that is, when you go into a new space, you're going to face new challenges. You're going to face new opposition. And that's because you're walking in with like a new level of responsibility, with a new weight, right? When you're walking into an upgrade from God, whether that is there's a career promise for you, a marriage restoration, a relationship restoration, you know, whether it's something to do with ministry, whatever that next thing that you're stepping into, that's an increase, right? You have to be able to not only like receive that increase, but be able to continue to hold it and build on it. And oftentimes, to go into the new season, you have to have new ways of handling things, new ways of working through things, new ways of sorting through things. That is why the pruning process is so important, right? Because God, before you walk through that door, God is looking at you and saying, this isn't going to do well in that next season. This isn't going to bear fruit. This isn't going to be able to hold this weight. This isn't going to be able. So before you go into that, I'm going to clip this out. I'm going to snip this out. I'm going to remove this. And honestly, y'all, that is relationships too. There are some friendships, relationships, connections, people you're close with right now, that if you are close with them in the next season, they would be the opposition. They would be that thing that's constantly the thorn in your side, the foot in the door, that thing that's dragging you back by the ankle. There have been times when before I have been able to step into a promise, there are boundaries I have to put up with certain people, because God knew if those people were as close with me in the next season, they would take advantage of me. They would be used to plant seeds of doubt and fear. And remember, we're checking the spirit behind it. There's a spirit behind the action. We're not just looking at the people. We're looking at the spirit operating behind them. And we know that that is the enemy working against God's plan. But there are times before you're able to go through that next door, God is going to say, you got to have boundaries. You got to have a different circle. You got to have different voices, because the voices you're entertaining now will be detrimental to you in the next season. The pruning process, although it's painful and it's uncomfortable, is so absolutely necessary. Is so absolutely necessary. And it's important to remember that the pain that you experience right now through that cannot match the joy that is coming on the other side. Now, what does the pruning look like? Like, how does this pruning? I will be the first to say, y'all, that sometimes this pruning comes through opposition, through warfare, through tactics of the enemy. God uses everything for your good. And sometimes the pruning process has looked like I sit down and I'm in my journal and I'm like, God, like, what do we, and as I'm reading something, I'm like, oh, I do that. Oh, that's an unhealthy coping mechanism. That's an unhealthy view. And there's sometimes it's just through sitting down and in prayer time and quiet time with him, he reveals these things to me and we work on him. But other times it looks like in the real world, in life, going through day by day, and something just triggers me. It's some kind of attack. It's some kind of warfare. It's some kind of opposition. And it pulls out a side of me or a part of me where I'm like, ooh, I don't like that. Oh, that's not Christ-like. Opposition can be used by God for your pruning. And I want to give y'all one example of that, right? And we can look at Abraham and Sarah. God gave Abraham a promise. You're going to be the father, like, of nations. Like, one day you're going to have a child, was the big promise that Abraham was already like, okay. Because Abraham was old by the time he got this promise, y'all. By the time he ended up having his child, he believed to be like as good as dead, like his body wise, not very fertile. And his wife was like 100 years old. She should have been barren. So it was already like a long shot when he received this promise that you were going to be a father. And oftentimes when God gives us a promise, y'all, it doesn't happen the next day or even the next week. There are a lot of times when God will give us a promise or reveal something to us months before it happens, years before it happens. Because as I said, the promise is an invitation into prayer and preparation. And it was roughly 20 years in between Abraham receiving that promise and Abraham actually having that son. And he had a hiccup in between. And this is what we're going to look in on, right? Because opposition is also able to be used as like a testing of our faith to reveal where we're at, what we need to adjust, what we need to work on. And if you're like, Danielle, where's the scripture for that? Like where is the scripture that, like, you know, God allows us to be tested? I want to read this to you real quick. 1 Peter, and we're going to start in 1 Peter verse 6. You rejoice in this, even though now, for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's necessary for us to go through opposition, for us to go through suffering, grief, trials, because this will produce, This will, what these trials and testings do, what these trials and testings do is they kind of reveal where our faith is at, right? They reveal where our faith is at. And when we see where our faith is at, we can see, oh, wow, I have come so far in this area. We have really grown here. But also we may see this area needs some work. This area needs some growth. It's refining our faith. We may think our faith is good and we may think our faith is rooted, but we don't actually know where our faith is at until we're put in a situation where we have to rely on our faith and stand on our faith. And this was a situation that Abraham was put in. Okay. Abraham and Sarah, they've received the promise and they're like 10 years in. They're waiting well. But this is where the doubts and the lies start coming in, right? They start believing the doubts of the enemy. They start believing the lies of the enemy. They start believing the manipulation of the enemy. What did the enemy, the devil, say to Eve in the garden? He said, did God really say that? When she was rooted in, when she was standing on business, if God said, I can't eat from that tree, God said, you shall die. The enemy's first thing he did was he started to get her to doubt what God said and that God wanted her to wait on him and to trust in his word. Like the enemy wanted her to start doubting, right? So he said, did God really say that? And we see here with Abraham and Sarah, right? They're waiting for a while. And they start to entertain the idea of, well, God only said it had to come from Abraham. He never said that Abraham had to have the child with Sarah. God never said it was Sarah and Abraham's. He only said it was Abraham's. And they started entertaining that. And because they entertained that voice, because they entertained those thoughts, when we know if they would have held it up to God's character, God isn't calling Abraham to cheat on his wife. God is not calling Abraham to go into adultery. Okay? But because
this podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
They were listening. Lies of the enemy, doubts, fear, that is a form of opposition. Because they started entertaining that, he ended up falling into the temptation of taking Sarah's handmaiden, I believe her name was Hagar, hooking up with her, and they had a baby. And that baby came with a lot of drama. That whole situation came with a lot of drama and a lot of things that God didn't intend for him to have to go through. But God knew he was going to go through. God already knew he was going to go sideways like that because God is all-knowing. And we see that Abraham has to reflect on that and has to repent and understands where he went wrong. And he has to humble himself before God. And God works the situation out. And then Abraham has the opportunity to wait again. And then eventually he sees blessing, him and Sarah. But what we see here is this was, Abraham was standing on faith until he wasn't, right? The opposition opened the door. And he fell into the temptation of believing the lies and the doubt of the enemy. And because he fell into that, you know, him falling into that was a revealing moment for him. Because he was able to see the areas where the enemy could kind of get through. And he could see the areas where his faith fell short. And where his belief in God and God's ability to do it fell short. where his faith that God could do it and require him not to sin, require him not to cheat on his wife, require him not to do any of that, fell short in that area. And we see that God is merciful and gracious and gave him another opportunity. God didn't rip the promise away. God was like, yeah, you fell short, you fell into this, but the promise still stands. I will still do this for you. And this time around, Abraham waited on God. Opposition will reveal where our faith falls short. Opposition will reveal the spaces where we're lacking. I didn't plan on mentioning this, but look at Peter. Where Peter loved Jesus, and Peter was so convinced that he's like, I will die for you and I will never deny you. And then Jesus says, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter was like, no way, no way, that's not going to happen. And then he was put in the situation. And when he was put in the situation to say, I'm a follower of Jesus, no matter what, no matter the persecution, and to be like 10 toes down. And instead of doing that, in that moment, he denied Jesus three times. And that was a revealing moment for Peter, that he may not have been as bold or confident or rooted as he believed he would be. And remember, y'all, this was before the Holy Spirit was given to us, because we know Jesus had to leave and then the Helper could come. So this was that period before the Holy Spirit was dwelling within us, before that was gifted to us. And we see how much sadness Peter had when that happened. And sometimes when we face opposition and a thing like that is revealed, when it's revealed that we fell short in an area, there is a temptation to fall into the grief and the despair and the sadness, right? We oftentimes see people compare Judas and Peter, because Judas also betrayed Jesus, but Judas didn't go and repent. He felt grief and he felt sad and he felt guilty. And sure, he threw that money back, but he ended his life in that grief. He was drowned out by that grief, by that pain and by that suffering. And Peter was also feeling grief and sadness. But, you know, he repented. And he didn't submit to the condemnation. The enemy, when we inevitably fall short, because as followers of Christ, we're going to fall short. When we're faced with testing and trials and tribulation, God doesn't expect us to pass the test every single time. He'll allow us to face testings knowing that we're going to fail, because he knows that it will reveal an area to us and where we need to grow. He will allow us to sometimes face tests that he knows we're going to fall short in, because it will be revealing and it will actually be used to further our growth. That's why we say that condemnation is from the enemy, conviction is from God. Because conviction will tell you, hey, you went wrong. Hey, you went away. Hey, you fell short. But there is redemption and you can do better. Repent and submit your life to Jesus. Allow him to guide you. And what condemnation says is, you failed too many times. You've fallen short too many times. Oh, you did wrong. There's no turning back. Like, there's no up from here. There's no better from here. And unfortunately, like, it seems like that's what Judas fell into. And someone listening to this today, you may need to hear that although you've maybe fallen short in the testing, a situation where you thought you were going to handle it really well and you didn't handle it well. A situation where you're like, man, I should have known that was deception. Man, I should have known that was a lie. I pray that this helps you today. Don't submit to that. Remember that there's hope in Christ Jesus, and wherever you've fallen short, he can redeem you and he can restore you. You just have to trust him and give it to him. The righteous, they fall down, but God lifts them up. They get right back up. So this, I feel, kind of goes into how God uses the opposition to grow you and to develop you. Because when the enemy is using these weapons, when the enemy is attacking you, when the enemy is delaying you, the enemy isn't doing it in hopes it helps you. He's doing it in hopes it blocks you, destroys you, delays you. He steals, kills, and destroys. And he does that through lies and deception and however he can do it. But that's what he wants to do, is he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And God will see these attempts to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal your purpose, to kill your faith, to destroy the hope you have in God, to try to destroy your salvation, to try to destroy your belief in that there's hope in Jesus Christ. That is the enemy's motive. But God will use it to heal you, to reveal. Here's another way that God uses opposition. He will use it to reveal the people around you. And not enough people realize this. You know, there's scripture that says that you shall know them by their fruit. And that's discussing false prophets, right? And how you can tell the difference. Like, does their doctrine match up with Christ's doctrine? You shall know them by their fruits. What kind of fruits are they producing? We know the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, patience, joy, kindness. And speaking from personal experience, and I'm going to be so thoughtful with the way I say this, Holy Spirit, help me to word this. God will use opposition. He will use the weapons forming against you to reveal your anointing. I want to start off with that one, to reveal your anointing. If God has anointed you for a position, if he has anointed you for an assignment, if he has given you a calling, you're not going to have to run around and tell everyone, this is my calling and this is what I'm meant to do. God will speak for you. And oftentimes he will speak through the opposition. Because we know through reading scripture, how many times does God's calling come along with opposition? When someone's doing something that God calls them to do, inevitably there is opposition. Opposition, by people who know the word and by people who are able to, who know the Holy Spirit, who know Christ Jesus, will be able to see and discern that opposition. Don't get me wrong, y'all. There are sometimes people are going through pain and suffering because of the consequences of their own actions. When we live a life disobedient to God, when we are living in wickedness, when we are living there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
There is pain and suffering that comes along with that. And there is some pain and suffering I've experienced in my life that was because of my poor decision making. When you gossip, lie, and slander, for example, if you gossip, lie, and slander, and then it gets revealed that you're gossiping and lying and slandering, that's a consequence of your own action. If people don't want to be friends with you, or people don't want to be around you because all you do is gossip, lie, and slander, that's not warfare of the enemy. That's a consequence of your own action, right? And that's just an example coming from someone who I was a big gossiper. and there were people who didn't want to be friends with me or didn't want to be around me because they didn't want to tell me any business. You know, I remember when I gave my life to Jesus, I met a lot of people. There were a lot of people who were frustrated. This was something that the Lord had really highlighted to me, and it was helping me to discern a bit of the difference between warfare and consequences of their own actions. As there were some people who were, they genuinely felt like a victim, and they genuinely felt like other people were in the wrong because they got caught for lying. That was a trend. There were multiple people around me who, and it was around that time I was giving my life to Christ when I started walking in truth and I started seeing God's ability to reveal. And there were multiple people who had been lying a lot and a lot and a lot. And some of their lies were coming out, right? And it was coming out that the things that they were saying were lies, or things that they were believing were lies. And they were losing the ground that they had gained. They were experiencing people not wanting to talk to them, or people not wanting to be friends with them, or, you know, just they were experiencing consequences because of that. And instead of taking responsibility for they lied and they did wrong and is a consequence of their own action, they were looking at it as warfare and other people being the problem and other people attacking them and other people hurting them and other people. Y'all, there are times in our life when we are experiencing warfare and opposition, but there are also times in our life when we are just experiencing consequences for our bad decision-making skills and our inability to own up and our inability to walk in the way that God is calling us to. And I want to be so clear that you have the opportunity, if that is you, if you fall into that category, you too can be restored. You too can be redeemed. It requires submitting yourself to Christ and submitting yourself to his word, humbling yourself. It is possible. There is no condemnation here, okay? But the way that you choose to respond, this was where we were going at, y'all. The way that you choose to respond, responding in Christ-like ways, is what can actually reveal the people around you that aren't exactly Christ-like. I remember there was a time in my life when God gave me a promise that he was like, I'm going to restore you and I'm going to redeem you. And at the time when Christ gave me that promise, there was like a lot of lies being believed about me, and there was a lot of deception, and the way I was being viewed by a lot of people was warped. And people weren't seeing me. They weren't seeing my intention. They weren't seeing Christ in me. They weren't any of that. And all I wanted was to go and speak it for myself and to like reveal it and to do all these things. And I remember God saying, the way you live your life is going to be revealing enough. And I didn't understand what that meant at the time. And looking back now, I do, where it's the fruits will speak for themselves. The fruits will speak for themselves. You know, there are people since God has given me that promise that I have had relationships restored. I've had reputation restored. And there are people who have honestly spoken to me that they're like, yeah, I believed you were this way, and I believe these things about you and these lies about you and these things about you. But just by seeing how you respond in life, just by seeing how you operate, just by seeing how you respond to daily challenges, just by seeing how you react differently now, like I can see that Christ is working in you. Like people, the lies fell off. They stopped believing him just based off of the decisions I was making in my daily life. How instead of getting angry or feeding into drama, I chose to be at peace, do my best to live peaceably, and how I would separate myself and just go into prayer time, how I chose to live apart from the world. They saw in Christ working in me and me looking more Christ-like, the fruits I was producing, the fruits of the Spirit, they were able to see who I truly was. And they were also able to see, because they were able to see that, they were able to see some of the fruits being produced around me that weren't very Christ-like. God sometimes will use that opposition to reveal your anointing, to reveal who you are, and to expose things around you or people around you that might not be the most Christ-like. There's a reason why, and you can read it multiple times in scripture, especially in Psalms. I believe, is it Psalm 6 or Psalm 7, where it literally talks about enemies falling on their own sword, when people set up traps and they fall into their own traps. How many times were in the gospel were the Pharisees asking questions to Jesus, purposely trying to trip him up? And Jesus knew that was what they were doing, where they would, you know, ask questions. They would hype them up and say like, oh, you're, you know, you're a teacher. You're so smart. You know everything. And then they would ask him a question, hoping that they could twist or manipulate his answer. And Jesus, being so far ahead of them, knowing, you know, had a perfect answer, answered in a way that would leave them baffled. And I think it's important that someone hears this today, that that is a way that the enemy operates. That can very well be an opposition. That's something I've faced, and I know other people have faced. When someone comes to you and they're asking a question, and like on the surface level, they're hyping you up and they seem really kind, but there's an ulterior motive behind the discussion. There's an ulterior motive behind what they're saying and what they're speaking. From personal experience, y'all, especially, I experienced that I had a handful of people doing that to me when I gave, especially when I was really fresh to give my life to Jesus, and I did not have the words yet. I did not have the wisdom yet. And you know how God called me to respond? Was to be silent. When I would receive messages or things that, you know, the Lord would reveal to me, hey, there's an ulterior motive. I know it looks kind, but this isn't actually a kind message. The Lord, knowing that I did not yet know how to respond lovingly or Christ-like or how to answer that question because I didn't, I was very new. The Lord called me to be silent, to keep my mouth shut, and to be patient and to wait on him. And he even used that to reveal. God can even use your silence. If you're being silent out of obedience, God will use that too. And that was a testing of my faith. I'm sharing that personal testimony with y'all because I know that there are other people out here. There is no testing or tribulation that I have faced that someone else hasn't faced. And that's biblical. There's no testing or like tribulation that you're going through, no temptation that is not known to man. That's the wording for it. There's no temptation that you are facing that, you know, man has already not experienced. And no temptation greater than you are able to resist. So I'm sharing these things, these personal testimonies, knowing that, like, I'm not the only one who's been through it. And there's someone else out there today who's going to get comfort through that. And that was a test of my faith, right? For example, y'all, as someone who I always wanted to defend and speak up for myself, I had to trust that God's way was better than my way. Even though to me, I was like, God, being silent doesn't make any sense. Being silent actually looks like it like proves a point. Me being silent actually, in my mind, I was like, me being silent, doesn't that just make me look like an avoidant? Doesn't that just make me look like more guilty? And the Lord just really gave me a trust me, trust me. And when I look back now, I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I trusted God with that. But that right there, y'all, is an example. But that also revealed the opposition around me, right? Because I'll give y'all just a real life example of this too, is my silence and my lack of participation also meant that there was nothing left for me to be blamed for, right? They could no longer say Danielle did this or Danielle said that or Danielle did that because I said nothing. And I did nothing. There was nothing to twist. There was nothing to do. You know, I was no longer able to be blamed in that way. I was no longer to look like the perpetrator either because I had no involvement in general. And my decision to focus on myself and do my own thing and other people's decision to continue to focus on me, to continue to attack me or to continue to gaslight me or things like that, it started to reveal who moved on and who hadn't, who was trying to hurt who, right? It started to reveal how much I never really was doing the things that people were saying I was doing. And that wasn't an overnight thing. It took a period of time for that to come out and for that to happen. And maybe you're someone today who God has talked about there was going to be a restoring of your reputation or truth coming out. I'm here today to speak from experience that God will do that. He's done it in my life and he can do it in your life. And oftentimes the instructions he gives you don't make sense in the moment. For me, it was be silent and focus on Jesus and just make the changes that he's called me to make. And when I look back now, I'm like, oh wow, those were the fruits and they speak for themselves. Oh wow, the Lord was literally allowing the enemy to fall on his own sword. People fell in their own traps like that. God, when I just focused on him, everything else fell into place. The truth about me was revealed because opposition continued. That's the interesting thing, is God used that opposition to show my response and my reactions and to prove my fruit. That wouldn't have happened if there wasn't opposition. And I hope this is your encouragement. Maybe this is your encouragement. Amen. Y'all, we have gotten, you know how I said I have like a note? We haven't really been following that. I have these notes written down and we've just kind of, we've gone for it. So I think it's safe to say this notebook is about to just be kind of like set aside. But there are a couple other biblical stories of opposition that I want to give to y'all. If you're like, okay, but Danielle, that's cool to hear your testimony. That's wonderful. But where are the biblical testimonies? Let's get into this, babes. Let's get into this. First one is, and this is the one that the Lord really pointed out to me this morning when I was doing my scripture reading, is Herod. King Herod and baby Jesus. When Jesus was just an infant. Y'all, opposition starts long before you step into the calling or long before you step into the promise. Like how I said that there's promises I'm still waiting on God to deliver on in my life. Like I see things coming into place. But I haven't seen the full thing. God gave me those promises well over a year ago. And the opposition against those things started well over a year ago. Actually, when he gave me those promises, I'm like, God, I think the opposition has already been going on for a while. The enemy doesn't wait until you have that thing to try to destroy it. The enemy will try to snuff you out before you can step into it, before you even start building it. If the enemy can get you to not do the pruning process, if the enemy can get you to not do that work, if the enemy can get you to not be that person, the enemy's going to stop you before you, he's going to try to stop you and block you and delay you long before you actually see it. When the enemy sniffs out or whiffs out that God has a plan or a purpose for you, he's going to try to snuff it out. Sometimes before you even know it's there. And that example we have right here with Jesus. When Jesus was born, he was a baby. He was an infant. And King Herod ordered for a massacre of the boys in Bethlehem. All the boys, 2 years old and under, Herod ordered for all of them to be killed. You remember, Joseph actually got communication from, like, God spoke to him in a dream. I believe it was an angel he sent to speak to Joseph in a dream and say, do not go back. You don't see it yet, but Herod is about to start killing infants. Don't go back. Y'all need to pick up and move. And Joseph had faith in what God spoke over what he saw. Even though he didn't see the commands or the orders yet, he wasn't sitting around to find out. He trusted in God. And because he trusted in God, he was moved to a safe space. So that way, when that warfare did pick up, when the opposition, when all that started going down, Jesus was in a safe space. But what's the spirit behind Herod doing that? Because it's not God. It's the opposition. It's the enemy. It's the devil. And we see the devil trying to take Jesus out long before he stepped into his ministry. Jesus didn't start doing his ministry until I believe he was in his 30s. This was close to like a 30-year gap. The enemy was already trying to take Jesus out long before. The enemy was already trying to steal, kill, destroy long before Jesus was even ministering. The enemy will try to take you out before you even step into the ministry. He'll try to take you out at the beginning of the pruning process or before you even know you're going through a pruning process. So if you're like, Danielle, where's the biblical example of the enemy is going to be trying to take you out long before you step into it? Right here. Jesus and Herod, right here. You're saying, Danielle, where's the example that there's, I know we have Abraham and Sarah, but where's another example of you having to wait in between the promise and warfare and trying to take you out? Look at Saul and David. David was anointed to be king when someone else was already king. Saul was still king when David was anointed. And David was like a little shepherd boy. David didn't appear to be qualified whatsoever. And this is where we talk about the pruning process will qualify you. Okay, because David was the youngest of the brothers. His brothers and his father didn't even think he was... This is how underqualified they thought he would be, is he wasn't even brought along. When the prophet was anointing the king and he was looking through the brothers, he's like, is there anyone else? Because it's none of these guys. And they were like, I mean, we do have a younger, the youngest, he's out in the field. Like, his own family didn't even believe that he was deserving of the anointing. His own family didn't even believe he was capable of that. His own family didn't believe it. And when he was anointed king, he didn't go straight to the palace. He went back to the fields. When he was anointed king, he went back to the fields. He went back to tending over the animals. He went back to doing all that. And then he went on to fight Goliath, and he wasn't king yet. He went on to win a lot of battles for King Saul. He went on to be playing the harp to bring Saul peace when a wicked spirit was attacking him. He went on to be attacked again and again and again. He had the anointing on his head. The enemy knew he had an anointing and tried to snuff him out before he became king. Look at how many times the enemy moving through Saul tried to take David out before he stepped into the throne. There is a time period where David was literally hiding in caves. And this is another, if y'all need another biblical example of waiting on God and not doing it yourself, look at David. When he was in that cave and Saul came in to take a pee, he came in to take a pee, and David had the opportunity to take Saul out right then and there. He was being encouraged by his besties to take him out. And you know, there are some people who walk throughout this life with the mentality of, if God didn't want me to do it, why would he give me the opportunity? The devil gives you opportunities too. Not just because you can doesn't mean God condones. Everything is permissible. Not everything edifies. And I used to be one of those people that walked with that too. Well, if God didn't want me to take the job, if God didn't want me to date the person, if God didn't want me to say that thing or do that thing, why'd he allow me to be in the position where I could? And it's like, no. The devil will give you opportunities to stray and go away from God too. And David was able to recognize that. And keep in mind, David had been weary at this point. He had been running tired. David knew he was anointed to be king. He knew the kingship was his. It wasn't like he was trying to steal something that wasn't his. He knew it was his name on it. But it wasn't yet his time. And he had the opportunity to take a shortcut to bypass God and try to force his way into kingship. And that would have been by taking Saul out that moment. And instead of taking Saul out, he cut off a little hem of his garment just to show how close he got. And he let Saul go. And you know what? In God's timing, Saul fell on his own sword. David didn't have to take him out. David wasn't the enemy. David wasn't the one who took all the shortcuts. David wasn't the one to blame. The one who was to blame for his own fall was Saul. And trusting God and believing in him and listening to his steps and his guidance will do that for you. You'll be left in a place where the enemy falls on his own sword and you are not, the blood is not on your hands. But see, if David would have listened to the whispers, to the deceptive voices, the blood would have been on his own hands. And instead of being clean in the situation, he would have been the murderer. He would have been the killer. He would have been the one who snuffed out the competition. But we see what David.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
David's life, David had the anointing and was sent back to the fields. Everything that David went through qualified him to be the king that he was. And was he perfect? No. But he was still favorable in God's eyes. When Jesus was here, he was known as being from the line of David. David's name was still, it was blessed. God doesn't expect perfection, but he does expect repentance and obedience and a humble heart. Like, that's what he desires from us. He knows we're not going to be perfect, but that's what he desires. And although David fell short in many areas, especially when he was older, let's be so for real. You know, he didn't always wait on God like that. He didn't always, we see when he got older, he made some pretty big mistakes. But he still humbled himself before the Lord. He still repented. And I think David is a wonderful example, y'all, of God will give you a promise. He will give you an anointing. He will say something is for you. And then you will have to go through the preparation and the pruning process. Because when David fought Goliath, he wasn't yet king. When David was going through and winning all these battles and doing all these things, he wasn't yet king. When David was playing the harp and bringing peace to Saul, he wasn't yet king. He had the anointing, but he wasn't yet king. God will sometimes reveal something or speak something to you far before it's your time because it gives you something to hope for and it gives you something to prepare for. Imagine like you're going through all this warfare and all this preparation and then you have no idea, there's no hope for it. That's when you think like life just sucks to suck. But when you know that there is something greater coming of this, there is a hope in that. You know, it makes me think of Saul. And I believe it's in the book of Acts when Saul is told by God, like, you need to go to this place. I believe it's Rome he's going to. It's been a while since I've read this, so bear with me, y'all. And he understands that if he goes, there's going to be a lot of pain and there's going to be a lot of suffering. And the people around him find out that he's planning on going to that. And there's actually prophets from the Lord, different people that come up to him and start pleading with him, do not go. And they start saying, if you go, you're going to be bound. If you go, you're going to be in chains. If you go, you're going to be in pain. And they were thinking that, you know, saying this was going to scare him away from going. But to him, that was just more confirmation. Because when God told him, God also warned him there is going to be pain and suffering that comes with it. So when these people started speaking of pain and suffering and him going to that place, he was like, now I know God has called me to it. Now I know for sure God has called me to do it. There are sometimes, y'all, when I remember I've written down promises in my journal from God, and right after I write down that thing he's doing for me, I'm also writing down, and there's going to be opposition, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. And then when I go into that season, before God has blessed me with that promise, I see that very opposition I wrote down. And I'm able to start thinking, oh my gosh, I'm facing this opposition, everything. I'm in the birthing process. The promise is on the way. The opposition I'm facing isn't the fearful thing or the doubtful thing. It's a confirmation that, oh, God's about to do his big one. God's about to do his thing. Again, y'all, words, prophetic words, visions, promises from God are an invitation to prayer and preparation. Here's another story. We got another one right here, y'all. Look at if you read the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ezra, right? They're rebuilding. It's about the rebuilding of the temple. Notice how the enemy didn't wait until the temple was rebuilt to start opposing or coming at them. It was as Nehemiah was building the temple. The people who opposed were lying and deceiving and trying to call him down, trying to take him out. They were trying to like literally off him. It was while he was in the building process, they were trying to take him down. They were trying to snuff him out. They didn't want, as soon as they heard that that temple was going to be rebuilt, bam, they were on him. And he had to work through that opposition. Someone needs to hear this today. Opposition isn't a sign to stop, it's a sign to keep going. I used to view opposition as a sign of, oh, God didn't want me to do this. If God called me to do it, I used to view like God will make a way as the process will be easy. And like if God has anointed it, if God has asked me to do it, that there's not going to be any opposition. And that's actually very far from the truth. We see throughout reading scripture that people who are stepping into their calling, doing the things that God called them to do, come along with a lot of opposition. Look at Paul, everywhere he went, he was persecuted, but he was doing what God called him to do. Look at Nehemiah, and look at in the book of Ezra, they're rebuilding the temple. And there's opposition every step of the way. Look at Joseph. Look at the opposition he faced while just trying to stay rooted in his faith to God. If you're obeying God, there's going to be opposition of the enemy because the enemy doesn't want to see God's will come to fulfillment. He doesn't want to see your faith be strengthened. He doesn't want to see other people's faith be strengthened through what God is doing in your life. So, yeah. Yeah. If you're facing opposition, opposition isn't a sign that this isn't from God. Opposition is actually often a sign that what you're doing is from God and to get your strength from him. When we look at in the book of, if you're reading the book of Ezra, they're going through building the temple. They are even having their things supplied from the king himself. And there are some of the people who are up against them writing a letter to the king lying, saying, oh, if he rebuilds it, you know, he's not going to, they're not going to donate. They're not going to pay their taxes. They're not going to do these things. Like trying to say, well, if you allow them to do this, they're actually going to hurt you. They're going to betray you. They're going to do all these things. And they manipulated the king for a little bit. And the king was like, oh, you know what? No, I'm not going to help them. Oh, I'm not going to allow this to happen. And then God sent a prophet, some prophets to speak to them and to encourage them. And they start building regardless of whether or not the king said they could do it. And then when the king, you know, when they defended themselves by just speaking to their testimony and speaking about what God has ordered them to do and their intentions, the king allowed them to keep going. And someone needs to hear this today. Opposition can actually be your deliverance and your breakthrough. Opposition can actually be the thing that allows you to step into your calling. Like when you look at, I believe, again, referring back to the book of Ezra, the people being able to build that temple was actually like their kind of exodus, because there were people who were in slavery and in bondage. And when it was permitted that they were able to go and rebuild the temple, they were freed and able to go do that. And opposition came along with it. But look at Esther. Let's look at Esther. Because she was set aside for a time such as this. And the opposition actually forced her to step into her calling. She became queen and she was keeping her Jewish heritage hidden and everything. She was living quietly. And it was when her people were put on the line in her own life, when the opposition arrived, when it was, I believe his name was Haman, drafted up that decree to have them all taken out. And she had to fast and go before God. And she had to, by faith, reveal her heritage. She was able to be the deliverer for her people. Well, God was the deliverer and she was the vessel. Sometimes opposition will force you to step into your calling. That's another way God will use opposition. Look at Esther. She was just living her life as queen, doing her thing. I'm sure it wasn't totally easy. We see that the king wasn't always, you know, the most peaceful. I imagine he wasn't the easiest to live with. I imagine it wasn't easy leaving her kinsmen behind or having to, you know, keep her Jewish heritage quiet. But when opposition arose and she had the choice, she could have either hid herself quietly and God would have brought up a deliverer out of somewhere else and she would have suffered. That was spoken to her. Or she could, by faith, step into what God called her. God didn't put her in that position just for her to enjoy her life. God put her in that position so that one day she could be used by him. And that's to go around again, y'all, and talk about how when God will give us blessings and things, and he wants us to enjoy and he wants us to delight, but they should always be used to glorify him and to further his kingdom. And that's a perfect example with Esther, right? Of being put in that position of being queen. And she has a lot of things to enjoy. She has, you know, in a lot of areas, a really nice lifestyle. But she's called to put that on the line to do something that glorifies God. God didn't put her in that position simply to enjoy it and to keep it all to herself. God put her in that position so that way she would be ready to be used by him in a time such as this. Look at Nehemiah. Looking back to Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was ordered by God to go and start rebuilding the temple, look at the position he was in. I believe he was the cupbearer for the king. He was already in the position to be able to go talk to the king. He wasn't that cupbearer just simply to enjoy the life of being a cupbearer. He was that cupbearer so that way when God decided it was time, he would be there to speak to the king. Look at Moses. Look at Moses. Moses grew up around Pharaoh. We know he left, spent that time in the wilderness, and then when he started being used by God, he came back. He had the ability to go speak to Pharaoh that other people did not. God will put you in a position to be used by him. That position, sure, he wants you to delight and enjoy in the things, but you should be ready to use that to glorify him. And maybe someone needs to hear this, and maybe this is your conviction today. If you're in a position, you're in a space, there are things that you're enjoying, whether it's money or fame or attention or notoriety or whatever it is, how is God calling you to use that to glorify him? And is there a way he's been calling you to use it that you've been refusing because you're afraid of loss? You're afraid of uncomfortability. You're afraid of whatever hardship. Because that was Esther. And Esther was about to lose her life. Okay, she could have been killed just by approaching the king. Moses could have easily been taken out by Pharaoh at any point walking up there. Pharaoh could have just had him off. Like when we're talking about looking at the fleshly stance of it, right? Those were the fears they were probably moving with. Think about the rich man who, he said, God, like what, he was talking to Jesus, what do I have to do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus said, you have to sell everything you own. And he walked away sad because he had a lot of stuff. Even though his life looked very perfect in all those other areas, he was refusing to give up that security and that comfort when God called him to. And I'm not telling you that God is calling you to donate all your money or do anything like that. I'm just saying, is there something that God has placed on your heart to do with the position you're in? Is there something you can do, whatever it is, if it's fame, career, money, if it's you have a testimony to share that you've been holding in? This doesn't have to be something seemingly extreme like that. This can be God has been calling you to go and share a testimony with a person. God has been calling you to speak a truth. God has been calling you to do a thing. Maybe it's just one person God has been calling you to speak to, or it's one person he's been calling you to impact, and you're afraid to do it. Has God put you here for a time such as this? Has God allowed you to be blessed with these things for a time such as this? Opposition will cause you to step into your calling. Look at Esther. And here's another one. One more example. We'll talk about Joseph, y'all. When Joseph had a vision from God that one day his brothers were going to be bowing down before him, and he went and told his brothers at first wanted to kill him, but decided to sell him into slavery. It appears like he has no favor. You know, sometimes people assume, and I'm being so thoughtful with the way I word this, how we said earlier that opposition will be revealing of your anointing. People who don't know about opposition, people who aren't rooted in the word, people who don't know how God operates may mistake opposition for God's wrath. And we've talked about this in many episodes, that there are sometimes when God will allow you to be turned over to the consequences of your own actions and you will see wrath. And that is how we may know that God is displeased. Look in the book of Jeremiah. It's all up in the book of Jeremiah. We see it in parts of the book of Ezekiel. But there's always a redemption with it too, right? But there are times when there is pain and suffering and hardship that is actually what we talked about earlier in 1 Peter. Where this is the testing of your faith, the proving of your faith, or this is your pruning. But if you take a close look at Joseph's story, you can still see the anointing shine through. If you know God's hand, you can see it in Joseph's story, okay? Because Joseph, you know, from an outside look, oh, does God really favor him? He was able to be sold into slavery. But we see what happens when Joseph is sold into slavery. Potiphar's house is blessed. God blesses Potiphar's house so that way Joseph may be blessed. Even when Joseph is hurt, God's hand still shows through. It's still clear that God is pleased with Joseph because he's still seeing blessing. And we see Potiphar's wife trying to come on to Joseph. And Joseph, this is where the fruits are put to the test, right? Is Joseph going to give in to that? Or is he going to keep his faith in God and his faith in God's word? And how he knows God calls him to act. And he's like, nah, I'm not going into adultery. I'm not going into that. And sometimes standing on faith comes with opposition. And what happened when Joseph was rooted in faith? He gets tossed in a jail. She falsely accuses him. Sometimes we'll have to suffer for a short period of time on behalf of our faith. That's biblical. Again, look back to 1 Peter, how we read about it. And we see that with Joseph, but we still see his anointing shining through. And we might not have been able to see his anointing on this level if he hadn't been put in those places of suffering. Because even when he's put in the jail, he is put in a position where he is like in a leadership position and he is still blessed in the jail. And he is still able to interpret dreams in the jail. He is still being used in the jail. And one day, someone remembers him from the jail. Talks about him to, and I forget what his title is, if he was the emperor, the pharaoh, the the king. It's been a while since I've read the story, y'all. But he gets spoken to. And immediately Joseph is brought out. He interprets a dream and he is put in the position of high place. And his brothers are brought before him and God's word is fulfilled and they are bowing before him. And this is also an opportunity for Joseph's fruits to be tested. Was he going to get vengeful? Was he going to make fun of his brothers? Was he going to say, ha ha, now y'all are bowing down before me, coming towards me? Was he going to be spiteful? And we see what Joseph showed was love and forgiveness and understanding. Now, at first he was a little, his methods weren't very good, you know, with like, you know, planting those things in the bags and yeah, he wasn't perfect, but he forgave them. And we see that the brothers were even skeptical at the point when Joseph's dad died. The brothers were like, oh, now he's going to turn on us. And Joseph was like, no, no, no. Times like that, God will use to reveal the fruit. And we see Joseph's fruit in that moment. And I hope that me sharing these stories with you has spoken to you or helped you in some way. I truly feel like God is going to move through this episode. I truly feel like this episode is going to be a blessing. Like each person listening to us today, there is something you can take out of it. I know we've touched on opposition a lot and how to identify it and what the enemy is trying to do. But I pray that listening to this today has given you a new perspective, a new point of view. And maybe there's some questions you've been asking God and you've been asking him for direction. And I pray that in a way he has spoken through me to you today. I pray that there is a refreshing and a renewal, and that there is a new understanding. I pray that the instructions you've been waiting on God to give you, you receive those instructions, you receive the guidance, you receive the clarity and the boldness to move through them. And I pray that my personal testimony has helped you in a way, y'all, because I know that God, funny enough, talking about promises, y'all, I remember God telling me when I was really in a low space, and this was right when I was giving my life to Christ, I remember God saying, all this pain and all these mistakes that you've made in your life and all these places where you feel unworthy and you feel like you've fallen short, I will turn those into testimony and you will glorify me by sharing your testimony with people. And me even being able to share these testimonies with y'all today in a way of look at what God did and look at how he can use them is God fulfilling his promise to me. Me being able to do this today is God fulfilling his promise to me. And again, I know that anything that I have faced is not uncommon, that there is someone else out there today who has faced a variant of what I have faced. And I pray that my sharing of how I went through and God has helped me overcome, or how God has used it, helps you and encourages you. Now, I do ask y'all, hit subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this podcast. Hit subscribe, like it, leave a review. It helps to leave reviews. If you're listening on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, and share it with somebody. Share it with someone that the Lord is putting on your heart to share with. Share it with a friend. Share it with a family member. Share it on social media. It helps. And I hope that y'all have a wonderful new year. I'm recording this on December 31st, the last day of 2025. And I will see y'all in 2026. God bless.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.